Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 168, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Before thee, Lord, a people waits to praise thy name in Zion's gates. To thee shall vows be paid. Thou hear of the suppliant's prayer. To thee in need shall all repair to seek thy gracious aid. And what follows, Psalter 168, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ephesians 4, the verses 17 through 32. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians 4, beginning with the 17th verse. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Almighty and eternal God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, then it is for the third time on this Lord's Day that we and our children may be privileged to gather round about thy holy word. A part of the congregation may come up to thy house. The greater part may listen along. May it please thee to soon grant a time that the whole congregation may come up to thy house. And then, Lord, when by renewal we attempt to approach unto thee, a holy and a majestic God, with our unclean lips, wilt thou fill our hearts with that awe and with that reverence and impression unto whom we are speaking, where thou wast everything in thy hands, our breath, our heartbeat, and that it is written in thy word that thou art of pure eyes to behold evil, and that thou canst not look on iniquity. And to that end, may it please thee in this hour to look down upon us poor sinners in the Son of thine eternal love. 'Tis most perfectly known unto thee how that our boys and our girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly, how they have come up to thy house. May it have been more than form and duty. And, Lord, when it is so, shall not stand thee in the way, because the work of thy Holy Spirit is so irresistible. And thou hast promised that thy word, that it shall not return void unto thee, but it shall prosper in the thing whereunto thou shalt send it. And then we humbly ask thee, may thy word be blessed, that grace may be begun, that it may be furthered, and that it may be strengthened. There must be a beginning for that work to be increased, and to that end, may it be the moment of thy sovereign good pleasure that thy word may go forth with power divine, that it may enter into the hearts, and that there may be those born in Zion, oh Lord, impress in this evening hour what a terrible and awful thing it is to be an unconverted boy or girl, an unconverted man or woman, under thy curse, under thy wrath, separated from thy great mercy, traveling on that broad way that leadeth straight to eternal destruction, O Lord. Wilt thou then work lovingly and mightily in the hearts of young and old, that the hearers shall not have to return as they have come. Oh, many of them have come to church so often already, and perhaps discouraged, perhaps hopeless, afraid, that thou shalt never convert them. Ah, may it then be the hour that they shall be pricked in their heart, and that in beginning that they may taste of those grapes the benefits of the covenant of grace. Lord, give us not over to the hardness of the heart, the greatest judgment that can come upon us and our children, when thy word, when thy judgments, and when thy goodness maketh no impression, but that we only become more careless. Lord, remember thy children. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou also knowest how they have come up in this evening hour. And then thy children learn more and more that it is grace and grace alone. Then they must live off of given good. And they learn more and more, all forfeited, all sinned away. But they need those crumbs of grace and even greater blessings. Well, to grant that close, that tender, that dependent life at thy throne of grace, needing thee for all things, even for the smallest, receiving a humble and thankful heart for thy benefits, living out of thee, through thee, and unto thee, and needing thy dear Son as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Lord, remember consistory and congregation. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Wilt thou remember all thy servants, elders, and deacons, those that work on the mission field, those that may bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Remember our theological school. Remember the student that may speak an edifying word. Wilt thou help him and bless the means of grace. Take the veil off the nation of the Jews, and not only in the way of understanding, but may it be in the work of, in the way of experience. Ah, Lord, we have to learn that we are all Jews, no room for thee, for thy grace, and the bitter enmity against thy dear Son. But, oh, when thou comest, thou art that all-conquering God. And then the hearts and the knees shall be given to bow. Remember the nations of the earth in these difficult times where thou wert speaking so loudly. Remember our nation, our province. Remember all in high authority. Wilt thou grant unto our leaders wisdom and understanding. Remember all those sick with the virus, those in hospitals, those in serious condition. Remember the mourning ones. May it please thee to graciously watch over us, to place a fiery wall round about us, also over our Bethesda. We commend the many outward needs, Lord, in our care home. There are two old mothers with that dreadful disease, and the one that seems very close to the gates of eternity. Then once more, we commend her unto thee for body and for soul. Remember her dear husband, the family circle. Thou art also speaking unto them in a special way. It is appointed unto us all to die, And after that, the judgment of the other widow, where her life seems to become weaker and weaker. We also commend her unto thee for body and for soul. Well, I remember those in hospitals, that little boy. Well, thou continue to watch over him, uphold and strengthen the parents and the family circle. May he be a little son of many prayers, and that he may be spared, that he may tell forth thy glory. Remember the widow in the hospital. Well, to grant her a Sabbath day blessing, that under the affliction she may experience that thou knowest of her. Well, to grant unto her further healing and strengthening. Well, to remember all under the physician's care. Remember the difficulties of the body, the difficulties of the mind. We remember all our mourning ones. Oh, wilt thou uphold and wilt thou comfort them, where in the past weeks then old wounds have been reopened. Then at the end of this week, then a father and mother with a family circle hope to remember when thou granted it, that thou wast kept them for 35 years. But in that family circle, a large empty place has come in the years gone by, a place that remains empty. Well, thou remember them on that day. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our care home with all those that may care for them. Remember the family circles. May love abound between husband and wife, between parents and children. May our families be bound to thy holy word, and word is different. May there come healing, repentance, and what has been separated, what belongs together, may it please thee to bring it together. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Then by renewal we commend unto thee the fathers and mothers who have presented their little children for the sacrament of holy baptism, who may leave thy house in this morning with thy thrice holy name upon their little foreheads. Lord, they have made an oath. It is recorded in heaven. Ah, then we humbly ask thee that they may not be finished with their oath. May there be a beginning, that they may be brought into need, O crying unto thee, that thou may do for them and for their children what is signified in the sacrament, and that is to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. We now humbly beg of thee for thy help. May it please thee to grant simple words to speak. Anoint us with fresh oil from above. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people, O Lord. So many souls, all traveling to a never-ending eternity. And if our souls are not saved, then we shall have to go lost forever and ever. But, oh, may it please thee in these solemn days to do yet a great work amongst us, that there may come a time, as we read in thy holy word, that there shall be old men and women leaning on their staff because of old age, and that they shall be given to behold with such a joy and with such a delight those boys and girls playing in the streets of Jerusalem. Oh, Lord, do it for thy honor and for thy glory. Thou wast never promised to work in the places of vanity and wickedness, and wilt thou keep us and our children from those places, but thou wast promised to be especially present in thy house. May that be realized in this evening hour. Wilt thou help the listeners take away everything that could be a hindrance, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 310, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. I love the Lord for my request and humble plea he makes his care. In him through life my face shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. And what follows, 310, 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 33, the question and answers 88 through 91. Question 88, of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist? Answer, of two parts, of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. Question 89, what is the mortification of the old man? Answer, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, and more to hate and flee from them. Question 90, what is the quickening of the new man? Answer, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God and all good works. Question 91, but what are good works? Answer, only those which proceed from a true faith are performed according to the law of God and to His glory, and not such as are founded on our imaginations or the institutions of men. Lord's Day number 33 speaks of the true conversion of fallen man. With four thoughts, in the first place, the definition of a true conversion. In the second place, the mortification of the old man. In the third place, the resurrection of the new man. And in the fourth place, the evidence of the true conversion. The true conversion of fallen man, the definition of a true conversion, as we find it in number 88, the mortification of the old man, in number 89, the resurrection of the new man, in number 90, and the evidence of the true conversion in number 91. Beloved congregation, our Lord's Day and the part of thankfulness that is speaking of the true conversion. Then conversion has been mentioned in Lord's Day number 32. Then you can remember, then there was spoken of good works and the part of thankfulness and the part of sanctification. Lord's Day number 24, that speaks of good works in relationship to justification. And then the instructors in Lord's Day number 24, then they were given to extol free and sovereign grace. But we have also heard in Lord's Day number 32, when there is spoken of the necessity of good works, in the part of thankfulness that by renewal, that the instructors that they have spoken, that the church is saved through Christ alone. And then in question 87, cannot they then be saved who continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives? And that is our picture by nature. We have been conceived and born in sin. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And then what a terrible thing, my unconverted fellow travelers. How many years already have you continued with a wicked and ungrateful life? 'Tis still a privilege when by the common goodness of the Lord that God's word still makes an impression, that we have an impression that a wonder needs to take place, that we cannot appear before our Maker as we are born, but now to continue in their wicked and ungrateful lives as long as they are not converted to God. That is what needs to take place in all of our lives, boys and girls. We need a new heart that loves the Lord, that hates sin, a heart that needs to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, we need to make that good choice of a Ruth, that we turn our backs upon the Moab of the world, and that we follow hard after the Lord. Middle-aged, elderly ones, we need to be converted unto God. 'Tis so indispensable that by the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit that we become unconverted, and then we shall weep many a tears. Then we shall cry unto the Lord. Then we become jealous of God's people. Then we desire those grapes of the cluster that has been brought out of that promised land. Then we have no rest anymore. Then it becomes reality that we are traveling on a journey, and that there is but a step between us and death, and then eternity where there is a beginning and where there shall never be an end. Has that wonder now taken place in our life? The Lord grants that precious time between the cradle and the grave for the one it is very short. Children are taken away. We have seen it the past summer, past weeks. We have seen it that our youth can so suddenly be taken out of this life. We have seen it the middle-aged, the elderly must die. We must be converted unto God. And now in Lord's Day number 33, then there is asked of how many parts does the true conversion of man consist? That can be a puzzling question for some. Then the question could arise in our mind, would it not have been more proper if that question was placed toward the beginning of the catechism? Because we have heard of wonderful things, of that only comfort of life in life and in death, of our body and soul, we have been given to hear the way that the Lord leads His people in the way of the experience of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Thus the question is, that should be our question, is this question not out of place? Should it not have been placed much earlier when we have heard of how that the Lord leads the true child of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit brings them to a saving knowledge of His dear Son for the pardoning of all of their sins? Thus then the question is, why is there spoken of conversion in the part of thankfulness and not at the beginning of the catechism? Then we must understand it when we speak of conversion, and that is, boys and girls, to be turned around, that we may speak of conversion in the narrower sense, but also in the broader sense. When we speak of conversion in the narrower sense, then we are speaking of regeneration, and that is the moment of the Lord's good pleasure, when by His Holy Spirit, that a sinner is stopped, that a sinner from dead is made alive, and that they become new creatures, and that they are turned around, and that they may place their face as Zion words. But now in this Lord's Day, and of course, then we cannot speak of a conversion in the broader sense if we have not experienced a conversion in the narrower sense, because there must be a beginning in all our lives when the Lord has begun that good work. That does not mean that everyone knows the time and the place exactly when that has transpired, but they shall know that it has become so different in their life that what they used to love, they now start to hate, and also the other way around. Thus in this Lord's Day, when it speaks about the conversion of man, that is the whole life of a child of God, that is that continual experience, but there must be a beginning. Oh, may we be given to examine ourselves whether there has come a beginning in our life. Oh, let me ask you, young and old, has the Lord now begun that good work in our heart? Oh, let me ask you, are there souls in this evening hour that are troubled with that question? Oh, alas, alas, how many there are amongst us and our children that can so easily say they are unconverted, and they continue on that broad way to hell week after week and month after month. But oh, when the Lord begins, then such a soul, they are given to examine themselves whether the Lord has indeed begun, because that people can fear that they have begun, that they are of a tender heart, emotional, they had convictions, and then the question whether it is the true conversion. And now our instructors by renewal, then they have asked, of how many parts? There's not a perfect translation. The Dutch translation is better than it says, in how many parts. We speak of how many parts, that can be two parts, that can be separate. But when we speak in how many parts, then they belong together. Of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consists, then by renewal, the instructors are using that word true. Also concerning faith, Lord's Day number 7, they have spoken of true faith. Thus the instructors are implying that there can also be conversions that are not true. There are even people that speak of an unconscious conversion, that it has taken place, but that they are not aware of it. And it is true, when the Lord begins, then they have many questions, cannot always give it a name, but they shall tell you that it has become different. Oh, that they have become a sinner. They have tasted of those grapes of that cluster, and then they shall be ruined to the world. Then we can speak of a conversion of the world to the church. Convictions that there is indeed a turning in their life, but renewing grace has not been glorified. We could speak of a conversion under great trials, great callings, afflictions, sickbed, promises made unto the Lord. Just think of Ahab in 1 Kings 21. After he has taken possession of the vineyard of Naboth, and then the prophet has come with heavy tidings, and then he was given to humble himself. He has went softly, and the judgments were postponed. Deathbed conversions, can it not happen? All for the Lord. Nothing is too wonderful. But let us remember in the Bible, how many examples do we have of a deathbed conversion? One, the thief on the cross. And that example is given that none need to despair. But it tells us that we must not wait. We do not know whether we shall have a sickbed or a deathbed. Can be an imaginary conversion. I think in Matthew 25 of those foolish virgins, they had a lamp, but they had no oil when the bridegroom has come. And to that end, the instructors have spoken of true conversion. And when the Lord works, then that people, they examine themselves many times. They are not afraid. Do we not hear the psalmist in Psalm 139, the verses 23 and 24, that the Lord may search him, and if there be an evil way, that the Lord may lead him on the way, on that way everlasting. The Lord has a people that there are times, and that they say, "Ach, Lord, if thou wast never truly begun, wilt thou then begin in this evening, because thou knowest that I cannot miss thee. Thou knowest that I love thee, although my sins, they are great and manifold." And then we read, it says, of two parts, would be better to say in two parts, because these two parts, they can never be separated. And then we read of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. We have read out of Ephesians 4, verse 22, a putting off of the old man, and in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, and that is now that holy warfare, that is a deep, a great warfare in the life of the true child of God. And then in Galatians 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. Thus that is that holy warfare in the life of a child of God. And then let us not make a mistake, congregation, because I hope that you all have a warfare because of sin, because what we hear in God's house, that we cannot do the things that we would, a great blessing when there is still that warfare. But let us not make the mistake that we think in this evening hour, oh, sometime with my conscience, what a warfare there can be concerning temptations, concerning sin, that I am tossed to and fro. If you knew what a struggles I had, and I have, how many prayers are sent up. Oh, the warfare because of shame, because of being found out, because of disappointments in our life, still a blessing when the Lord does not let us go. What a judgment it is when under the preaching of law and gospel that we become careless and that our heart is hardened and that our conscience is speaking, that it becomes less and less. How is it, boys and girls, with your conscience? Does it still speak loudly? And when it speaks, do you ask the Lord that you may give heed to it? Because if we do not listen to our conscience and override it, then that voice becomes weaker and weaker. But now in our catechism, then there is spoken of a holy warfare. And that is a warfare because of the work of the Spirit, the love that is shed abroad in the heart. Our second thought, the mortification of the old man, O congregation, in this Lord's day. How clearly that the way is laid out, the way that the Lord leads his child. What a touchstone that this Lord's day is. Oh, it shall be for the comfort of the child of God and for the uncovering of those that are building upon sandy foundations, and then the instructors, they are given to declare those leadings, and a child of God may examine their hearts, how far they have been led. What is the mortification of the old man? Why is it called the old man? Because it is the older of the two. That old man has its roots in paradise, and that old man shall never be converted. Flesh remaineth flesh. In Romans 8, there we read 9 times of that flesh. And now that word mortification, that is a big word, boys and girls, of what that word means, to be defeated, to be crushed, to be humiliated, to be crucified. What is the mortification of the old man? And then the answer is not so long, but it is so profound. And it declares the experience of the true child of God. It is as a sincere, that means heartfelt, real, a genuine, and not forced, and not deceit. And now that mortification of the old man, that is a fruit of the meritorial work of Christ, and which is wrought by the Holy Spirit in the heart of those that are converted. It is a sincere sorrow. There is much sorrow upon this world because of the consequences of sin. Visit mourning families. Visit with the troubles and the trials. But now here it speaks a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins. That word provoked, that means that we have angered, that we have grieved God. It implies that that soul has received the knowledge of whom God is in his divine and glorious attributes. The Lord is holy. He is just. He is good doing. He is almighty. And now out of that knowledge flows that knowledge of God. Then we learn what we have done and that we have provoked God by our sins. Then it does not go over the consequences of sin, but then it goes over the character of sin. And then such a soul, then they shall mourn. Has Christ not said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Has that now become real in our life? Has sin become sin? Have we learned to weep? Because when we learn that we have provoked such a majestic God by our sins so many ways, then tears, bitter and yet sweet tears, shall be wept. Then we seek secret places, and then we tell the Lord all. Then we learn, because we have provoked God by our sins, the wages of sin is death. Then we learn what it is to be a lost, a hell-worthy sinner. Then our hearts are filled with a holy jealousy for that people whose sins have been pardoned. Has that ever taken place, congregation? Has that now taken place in our life? Has sin become real? Has sin become bitter? Have we learned that we have sinned against such a good doing and a just God, that we have provoked him to his face, that we have sinned against his law, sinned against his goodness? Oh, on account of that love, because such a one, faith worketh by love, and on account of that love, then what a sorrow there is. Ah, then there are souls that know what it is to wet their pillows with their tears. Oh, to seek a secret place and to cry unto the Lord, Ach, Lord, is there now a way that such a one as I am, that have sinned against thy commandments, is there a way, because that separation, that is worse than death. And now our instructors, they give a further explanation for that true people. Then it can be the question whether it is now the true sorrow. Ah, they know those bitter tears, but their sins. But then our instructors, then they give further instruction, and that is for encouragement, for those poor and needy sinners, because then it becomes their desire, if it was possible, to never sin and to never grieve the Lord no more, that we have provoked God by our sins. And then, and more, and more. What an examination, congregation. More and more. Oh, in that beginning time, then such a soul, then how lively it is, their desire to become holier and holier. And more and more. Then one goes not so bad when the Lord keeps from temptation, and when it may be lively and good in God's house, they hope to become holier and holier. The church shall learn that it is all through Him. But now two special words. More and more to hate. That is that holy warfare, Reverend Tiptoff. He has stated in a certain place that it is hard work to battle and pray against besetting sins. When it may be tender, then the child of God is called upon to pray against the flesh, to hate. On the other hand, congregation, we can understand if you meet someone and they tell us that they are partakers of that sincere sorrow of heart, that they have provoked God, and when there is not a hating of sin, then surely we can place a big question mark behind it, and not only to hate and flee from them. Think of Joseph in Genesis 39, verse 9. He was far away from father and mother, from his family, a strange place. But when he was tempted, what a blessed place that Joseph was. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let us first sing. Of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, and thee my trust repose, my God. Oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. the true conversion of fallen man. The definition of a true conversion. The mortification of the old man. And now thirdly, the resurrection of the new man. And then, boys and girls, you must not understand it, that when the Lord converts us, that we shall first experience a time of the mortification of the old man, and then the quickening of the new man. And no, those two matters, they shall be experienced when the Lord begins that good work. And now concerning our third point, what is the quickening of the new man? It is a sincere joy of heart. Do you hear it, young people? Then God's people, they are given to experience a joy and matters which they have never experienced in their unconverted state. And to that end, do I not read in Psalm 110 verse 3, a willing people in the day of his power? And no, the Lord does not have slaves in his service. But in Galatians 5 verse 6, then I read that faith worketh by love. And now there is no heart also in this evening hour that is too hard to be conquered by the love of God. That work of the Spirit is irresistible. And then he draws his people by the cords of love. And then even in that sincere sorrow of heart over their sins, when such a soul may be found at the throne of grace, they cannot bow low enough, but when they may be given to cry, when they may be given to confess, when they may be given to unburden themselves, then there is a holy joy, a sweetness, concerning the things of the Lord. And then on account of that love and on account of that joy, then they cannot miss the Lord. Oh, that separation. And therefore sin becomes so hateful. And therefore they are given to flee. But now our instructors, they are further for the instruction of the true child of God. It is a sincere joy of heart in God when they may be given to taste of those grapes. We have mentioned some of them in this morning hour, when they may be given to taste all of those grapes of that cluster that comes from the promised land. Then they are given to experience matters that they have not experienced before, and therefore they are ruined for the world. The bridge has been taken up, and they are given to follow hard after the Lord. But now the instructors, they are given to instruct further, also for the examination of the true child of God. Oh, we have mentioned when they may taste of those grapes, of that cluster of the promised land, then they may be filled with a heavenly joy, because the Lord grants already in the moment of regeneration those graces of love, of faith and hope. And then they receive a hope in their God. Oh, it is true, such a one has much to learn. But when they may taste, oh, let us mention a Ruth, when she may come on the fields of Boaz, when such a one may come up to the house of God, And when there may be those riddles and perplexities, oh, what a blessing it is. What a privilege in the midst of a congregation when among young and old there may come up empty vessels, many questions and many riddles, because with that warfare, with that holy warfare, then they are given to understand what Rebekah has said in Genesis 25, verse 22, when she felt those two boys, when they felt that struggling, then she has said, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Oh, what a privilege when there may be those that have many questions, and when it may take place, that they may hear their life and their heart declared. Oh, then with the gleaning on the field of Boaz, it is true, Ruth had to learn that it had to be gleaned out. But what a delight that is, that holy joy in the service of the Lord. Then they are willing to sacrifice, oh, to be soldiers, that they may battle for the king's cause. And when they may be given to experience those blessed things, then it is their desire and their prayer that their fellow man may become partaker thereof. But now our instructors, they have spoken of the foundation, that it is all through Christ. Thus, in that second point, then the instructors, they are given to explain how it is possible that fallen sinners that have ruined everything, that they may taste of the good things of the Lord. And that is only through the mediatorial work of Christ, by the application of the Holy Spirit. And how it is so necessary for a child of God that they may be led into that mystery concerning that joy and those blessed things of the Lord, that they are led to the foundation and to the fountain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I not read in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou wast sent. And now that sincere joy through Christ, and then, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God. Do you hear, congregation? Then it is not, I may not do this, or I may not do that. I must keep the Lord's day holy. I must be separated from the world. Oh, that old man that is never converted. Read Romans 7. I know in my flesh dwelleth no good things. Too well is present with me, but to perform it I find not. Thus that warfare. But now that resurrection of the new man, people of God, how is it with that resurrection? How does it compare to the time when the Lord has begun, when everything was so tender, when it was so lively? Oh, what a profound knowledge that we have provoked God by our sins. What a desire. And now the resurrection of the new man. What a form and what a duty there can be. The past weeks we have heard of the church of Ephesus. They have left their first love many times. 'tis necessary for the Lord to chastise his child, that he may be restored, and that it may become lively, and with love and delight to live. What is it now for the child of God to live, when they may be in their element, when they may have a close place, a life at the throne of grace, when they may be given to experience that the Lord gives, hears, and answers prayer, when they may receive a humble heart, then they cannot bow low enough, when they may experience something of that blessed communion, when they may be instructed further in the mysteries of salvation, by an eye of faith to look upon that precious Savior that has merited all those precious grapes for his people, and without money and without price. When they may be in their element, when they may be given to receive, 'tis all given good. We read in the resurrection through Christ, when that may be experienced, they may live, when the bride may be embraced by the bridegroom, when the sheep may follow the shepherd, when those little lambs, when the shepherd may pick them up and place them upon his shoulder, and then he may speak so comfortably to them, that he may tell them it is true, they are but little lambs, but those lambs are also part of the flock, to live according to the will of God in all good works. Our last thought, the evidence of the true conversion. But what are good works? We have heard the necessity of good works. And Lord's Day number 32, the purpose. Can you remember them, congregation? For God's honor, that God's people may be assured of faith, and that our neighbor may be won over for the kingdom of God. But now for further examination, that is for the Pharisee and the young rich ruler, who think they have many good works, but they have never learned to cry and weep because of their sins. And to that end, the description, when we speak of good works, of course, by the common goodness of God, then we may also speak of good things on a horizontal plane. And what a blessing it is in this dark and evil world that the Lord still grants common love, that there may be a helping of one another when we go to hospitals, that there is compassion and that there is still love. But that is on a horizontal plane. And that does not speak of God. But now these good works, of course, it does not exclude helping our neighbor, but then for instruction and for uncovering and for the necessity of prayer. Then we read only those. Thus then first we read of the source, and that is true faith. I read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Thus, the true saving faith that is wrought by the Holy Spirit, I read in Romans 14, verse 23, what is without faith, that is sin. In the second place, the rule, and that is according to the law of God. In the third place, the purpose, and that is God's glory. I read in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, whether ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do it to the glory of God, and are not such as are founded on our imaginations or the institutions of men. Christ has said to the Pharisees in Matthew 15 verse 6, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. A Lord's Day that speaks of the true conversion. And now the question is, are we now converted? That is the crucial question in this evening hour. Two kinds of people walking on two ways to two eternal destinations. And then also this Lord's Day, the mortification of the old and the resurrection, the quickening of the new man. Then what a simple explanation. And the Lord has a people upon the earth. Then this Lord's Day that excludes or it includes. May I ask you, young and old, have you ever experienced that sincere sorrow of heart? Have you learned to cry about your sins? That sin has become so bitter because it brings that separation, and the Lord has a people that cannot miss the Lord. Let me ask you simply, congregation, our sins, are they still our delight, or have they become a burden too heavy to bear? But also the quickening of the new man. And I know we must close, but in the experience of a child of God, in that warfare, the beginning, they hope to go from strength to strength, and they hope, maybe even expect, that that old man must be crucified. Paul has said, I am crucified with Christ, that that old man shall soon be slain, that it shall lose its power, and that that new man shall be risen up. The Lord has a people that are given to experience, at least when it is a tender life, at the throne of grace, that they have to confess, O Lord, seems in that battle that that old man is becoming stronger and stronger, more a quickening and a resurrection of the old man and the new man, that it is being mortified, blessing, when it may be confessed, and then how necessary and precious that mediator becomes in his threefold office. Paul has written to the Galatians, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, whereby I am crucified unto the world, and the world unto me. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may we be given to examine each of our hearts concerning what we have heard, concerning that true conversion. Oh, may it please thee to convert what is unconverted. May souls go home troubled and wounded. Remember thy people. There are those souls where there can be so many questions. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? Lord, then by renewal, when she may still be in the land of the living, that seriously sick mother before the gates of eternity, we commend her unto thee for body and for soul, with that other old mother. But, ah, Lord, so oftentimes we look at those that are so sick, and many times thou taketh the healthy and the strong away before them. We humbly ask thee to graciously watch over us in this week. Keep from harm and danger. Keep from sin and temptation. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? Wilt thou keep from great storms of destruction? Thou wast given some rain in the evening gone by. Lord, watch now over us in this week. May we be found more a praying and a begging people. Oh, do convert us as thou hast converted all thy people. Then thy name shall be glorified. Bring us safely to our dwellings and forgive us of all of our sins. We may acknowledge thee for thy help. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 2, the five stanzas. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet. He who will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat. And what follows Psalter 2, the five stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.